three former deans at the University of Arizona recently settled a $2 million gender discrimination lawsuit against the State Board of Regents. In it, the former deans argued they were paid less than men doing the same work. Details of the settlement have not been released. Despite that suit coming to an end, though, the Regents are still facing a $20 million suit from female faculty members in the U of A's College of Science. They say they're also paid less than men and that the school does not promote enough women. Research has found there is a gender pay gap in higher education, although the amount can vary. With me to talk more about this is Anne Hedgepeth, Director of Federal Policy at the American Association of University Women. And Anne, does the fact that this case settled tell you anything about how higher education is trying to handle these issues?
You know, I'd start by saying that we know the pay gap occurs in most industries. It's impacting women nationwide. And the reality is that when people experience discrimination in the workplace, there are a number of things they can do. At the end of the day, those steps that they take can lead to change in a number of different ways that can be the end result of a lawsuit, that can be a part of a settlement, that can even be simply because of the transparency around the issue. So exactly how a particular case comes to a conclusion, I don't think tells us entirely the story of how workplaces, how policymakers, and how individuals are currently working to close the gender pay gap in the workplace.
Have you found that in general, women who are being paid less than men for doing essentially the same work are trying to take steps before lawsuits? Like, are suits sort of the last step, or is it sort of a place to start?
You know, lawsuits can be expensive to everyone involved. They can come at a high cost on people's economic security and their future career prospects. So I don't think anyone takes that decision lightly. Luckily, there are employers that are taking steps in conjunction with their employees or in response to their employees to close the gender pay gap on their own. They're doing things like auditing pay in the workplace or changing their practices around hiring and the use of salary history. There are a number of proactive steps that we're seeing, and policymakers are even hearing the call for these kinds of changes and putting in place those expectations for all employers. So change is happening in a number of different ways, starting with employees speaking up, but all the way through to sort of system-wide shifts.
Are you finding that women are feeling more comfortable about speaking up about this issue now than maybe they were in the past?
I certainly think that we're seeing an increase in a culture of transparency around all the different experiences that people have in the workplace. Certainly, the way in which we have learned so much more about sexual harassment and sexual violence in the workplace as a part of the Me Too movement has shaped this conversation. And it's reminded us that people face a lot of different forms of discrimination, and that can impact things like their economic security, their pay, all the way through their careers and their lifetime.
Have you seen a difference between how public versus private colleges or universities handle this issue?
You know, I don't have a good sense of that, but I will mention that there is, I think, sometimes an ability with some types of employers, depending on the state and the rules, to have additional information, additional context about employment at those institutions, be it because there is an availability of records or even transparency about pay for certain jobs that can be really powerful for individuals who are assessing where they sit in that landscape as they're considering or negotiating for future employment opportunities, and even if they do need to speak with their employer or move forward because they think they've experienced discrimination.
What do you think the next few years holds in terms of the number of women who feel comfortable enough to come forward and talk about their experiences, and the way that colleges and universities and maybe even the governments that oversee them handle this issue?
You know, I absolutely think there's a lot of potential here, not only to close the gender pay gap by altering the practices in place that are discriminatory, but also thinking about how we can tackle things like the leadership gap and the number of women who are in positions of power in these workplaces, in particular at colleges and universities. I think we'll also continue to see policymakers take additional steps on the issue and recognize the number of things that contribute to the gender pay gap that include things like our practices around paid family leave and paid sick days, the sexual harassment and sexual violence that women experience in the workforce. These are all issues that are really calling for action, something that I anticipate we'll see real change on in the near future.
All right, that is Anne Hedgepath, Director of Federal Policy at the American Association of University Women. Anne, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.